Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's a hard time to preach right after dinner. Or we don't call it dinner. Yeah, this is dinner. You know, they've turned things around so that I hardly know what time to eat. When I was a boy, we had dinner. We had breakfast and dinner and supper. Now we have burnt toast and lunch and dinner. If you want me to come to dinner, don't call me at 12 o'clock and expect me to sit around till night. Amen. I remember when I first started preaching, I never heard of a motel, entertainment committee. Never said, what's your traveling expenses? Well, hay wasn't too high when I was a boy. And I rode a hay burner across the mountain, put my mule in a different barn every night and slept in a different bed upstairs, way over in the right-hand corner of the spare room where there'd never been any heat since time began. Only one fireplace, and that is downstairs. And the deacon was sleeping beside that. You'd go up there and climb up in this big bed, a big straw tick. You ever sleep on a straw tick, amen? And then goose feathers on top of that. You lie down in and go, shh. Wasn't like one of these little mattresses, and you get up in the morning, your back looked like a waffle iron. And then you get in between the sheets and shiver. About the time you got it warmed up, the old deacon holler for you to get up. Come downstairs, he'd say, Brother Lincoln, it's a lot healthier to sleep away from the fire. I said, if you won't mind, Deacon, I'd rather not be quite so healthy. Then you went down to eat real big homemade biscuits. Not these little bitty things like you take a bite and it's a half moon, take two bites, a full eclipse. I was up in Richmond, Virginia in a meeting not long ago, and this, maybe I told you, this lady who was the waitress was a Ms. She had it on her here. She put my coffee down and I said, okay, ma'am. She said, I'm not a ma'am. Well, I said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, God created them male and female. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I started out preaching like that, and I've been at it now for 62 years. Let me give you a little word. In 62 years, I've never been without a place to preach. In 62 years, I've never had to ask anyone for a place to preach. And I've never missed a week preaching in 62 years, except when I was in the hospital or in some foreign country and I was preaching there. I never ask a man for a dime in my life. I believe if I stand by the Word of God, the God of the Word will stand by me. That's it. And so, young man, if you feel like you've been called to preach, you be dead sure of it before you start. You just be dead sure about it before you start. And I promised God when I started preaching, I'd be original or nothing. And I found out as both. If you're going to be a preacher, just be yourself. You don't have to have a different voice. Speak away down here. No. Just be, if I couldn't strike but one note on the piano, it'd be natural. You get that by slow freight, amen. I just pitch them out, you feel them. Fella asked me the other day, he said, could a fella go to heaven and smoke cigarettes? I said, yes, and a whole lot quicker. I read the other day where a fella said he was on a plane and a woman pulled out a pack of cigarettes and lit one and blew the smoke on him. And he said, lady, you smoke, I chew. Now you can blow smoke on me if I can spit on you. Well, you said, could I go to heaven and chew tobacco? Yeah, but you'd have to go to hell to spit. That's what I'm saying. I want you to be much in prayer. Young man came up to me today as I came in and said, Dr. Lakin, I heard you preach yesterday on what must I do to be saved. And I got under conviction and he said, I got saved. Amen. Born again. My friend, this thing is real. This thing is real. And it'll not all be happy to do all the time. Amen. Sometimes we need to get down. I believe if some preacher said this morning, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Paul why he put this or that in. Brother, when you get to heaven, you won't have to ask him. You'll know. Now, someone asked me if I would preach on heaven again. I preached here last year. And I might preach on heaven again. Amen. When I was a boy and went to hear the old preachers preach, they preached on heaven. And they described certain people and slice them off and put them in hell, and I'd go off of that bunch. Then he'd slice off another bunch, and I'd go off of that bunch. So when he got done slicing, I thought heaven was a pretty small affair. About all the people that get there would be a few good old women and the old family doctor. But you know what? He pictured heaven, always he pictured heaven as a harp and having wings. That wouldn't be much of a heaven to me because I never did like a harp. And a big chunk of cheese like me would look pretty going flopping around on a pair of wings. The old lady said, when I get to heaven, how will I get my robe on over my wings? I said, what puzzled me when you kick off is how you'll get your hat on over your horns. That's what I'm worrying about. No, honey, you'll never be an angel. I know a fellow that married one. She's always up in the air harping on something with nothing to wear. Okay. Maybe I'll preach on heaven if I get a chance. And then if I speak at another time, I want to bring a straight-out evangelistic message. On 5 minutes before death, a man's thoughts trouble him. Now you pray as I speak. I think before I begin the message, I'd like to talk to you for just about 2 or 3 minutes on a way to study the Bible. Yeah. I find most Christians have no definite method of Bible study. They have no method of Bible study. You say, Dr. Lakin, you're going to give the way to study the Bible? No, but a way to study the Bible. You may have as good a way as I have. But let me talk to you about a way to study the Bible. Somebody said the Bible is such a dry book. And it is a dry book. And any book would be a dry book if you read it like you did the Bible. Go over in the middle and read a page. Go over to the back and read another page. Go back at the front and read another page. Any book would be dry if you do that. You said, how do you read the Bible? How do you study the Bible? I study the Bible like it is written. The Bible was not all written at the same time. It is written over a period of more than 1,400 years and was written a book at a time. So a good way to study the Bible is to study it like it is written, a book at a time. And I like to begin at where the book begins and end where the book ends. And the book begins with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Begin where the book begins. And then I try to read a book at a time, and I try to read the whole book through at one sitting. Well, you said, I couldn't sit still that long. Well, read it walking around then if you can't sit still. Well, you said, what would I do when I read it through? Read it through again. Then what? Read it through again. Then what? Read it through again. You can't very well tell others what the Bible teaches if you yourself do not know what it says. And when you read the Bible, don't try to remember anything you see it, anything you read. Why? Because if I say to this lady down here, forget I ever told you this, she'd never forget that in the world. But I'd say, don't you forget this. That'd be the first thing she'd forget. And when you read your Bible, you'll find certain phrases appearing over and over in it. Like if we say, fellowship, fellowship. Then I like to use pencils. Children like to play with pencils. And grown-up folks do too. And I get different colored pencils. And then begin to mark your Bible, underscore that phrase. Don't be afraid to mark your Bible, because a clean Bible is a lean soul. And I find if I find the blood in the Bible, I underscore it with a red pencil. If I find the Holy Spirit, I underscore it with a blue pencil, a heavenly color. When I find the second coming of the Lord, I underscore it with a royal purple, the kingly color. When I find the natural man, I underscore it with green, because he's green concerning the things of God. You know what I use for the devil? Yellow. And I've had more trouble with the yellow pencil than any other pencil I'll ever try to use. Now, open your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. The first chapter of the book of the Revelation. Someone said, Dr. Lakin, I never read the book of Revelations. Well, I never either. And I've never read the book of the Revelation of St. John the Divine. Because there is no such a book as the book of Revelation. And there is no such a book as the book of St. John the Divine. Why? Because John was no more saint than I am. St. Mark, St. Luke, St. Paul, St. Peter, St. nothing. I say Peter, James, and John. I never say St. Mark, St. Luke, St. Paul. I never say that. I simply say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were just old-fashioned sinners. Saved by grace like we are. And so I'm going to begin with now the book of the Revelation. The first chapter, the first verse of the first chapter gives you the title to the book. The Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified or signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now come down to the third verse, and here is what it says. Blessed, underscore your blessed. Most of you are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount and the blessed of the Sermon on the Mount. You're familiar with blessed are the peacemaker, blessed are they that hunger. But I wonder if you ever noticed the blessed or the beatitudes of the book of the Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Someone said, Dr. Lakin, I never read the book of the Revelation because it's such a mysterious book. I never read the book of Revelation because it's so hard to understand. Well, revelation doesn't mean covering. Revelation means uncovering. This is not God's concealed book. This is God's revealed book. Don't you think it rather strange that God would have directed the writing of a book and pronounced a blessing upon the reading of a book that was never supposed to be understood? Isn't that strange? This is the only book of the Bible that begins with, blessed is he that reads. So if you aren't reading it, then you've been missing a blessing, haven't you? If you haven't been reading it, you've been missing a blessing. So there are three classes of people blessed with the book of the Revelation: the readers and the hearers and the keepers. And if you haven't been hearing the book of the Revelation preached recently, you've been missing a blessing. If your preacher hasn't preached on the second coming of the Lord recently, check up on him. Check up on him. Why? Because you'll never understand the book of the Revelation except you understand it in the light of the premillennial coming of our Lord. I'm a premillennialist, amen? Not an awe. I heard Dr. Lee preaching out in Texas one day. And he had been to the doctor the day before, and he said, I went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, open your mouth and say, ah. Oh. Dr. Lee said, I'd die before I'd say that word. No. He said, I remember when I was a young preacher and visiting with that older preacher one day. And we were in this hotel room together attending a conference. And he said to me, are you pre or post? And he said, I don't know. Well, he said, son, let me tell you, come over into the pre corner. And he said, I went over into the pre corner and I've never left it since. And I heard him say that day, he said, if you can pull the last hair out of my head, you'd find it to be pre. Pre. And then he got in a big way of preaching. And he said, whee! Going out of the door that day of the auditorium, a little preacher said to me, he's just a frustrated old man. I said, you saying that about Dr. Lee reminds me of what the bantam rooster said to the elephant when they crossed the bridge. He said, big boy, did you feel her shake as we came over? You'd have about as much effect on Dr. Lee as a boy with a cyclone waving his shirt tail at it, just about as much. Blessed are they that hear. Let me say another thing. I do not know of a great soul-winning evangelistic church in America today that isn't preaching the doctrine of the premillennial coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you be afraid of it, and don't you let some little high-powered professor get you out of it. Amen? He knows, he doesn't know the difference and never will. Amen? Let me show you something. Blessed are they that hear and they that keep the sayings and the prophecies that are written in this book. So the hearers and the keepers, the readers and the hearers and the keepers are blessed by the reading of the book of the Revelation. Now let's turn to another one in the 14th chapter. Turn in the 14th chapter of the book, and you'll find this in verse 13. Jesus said, and he said, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. I don't know what the voice intended to go on to say, but the Spirit became so over-enthusiastic, he butted in on him. He said, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Then he butted in on him and said, yea, saith the Spirit, for they shall rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Underscore your blessed. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Why? I heard a man preaching a funeral once and he said, this man has now entered into his reward. The only question about that was it wasn't so. You don't enter into your reward when you die. I've had a lot of my good sermons spoiled by finding out they wasn't so. Made pretty preaching, but it just wasn't so. Amen? You do not enter into your reward when you die. You couldn't enter into your reward. Why? Because your works are not all in. And Paul said, behold, I come quickly. And the rewards are with him to give to every man according as his works shall be. Paul's been in heaven more than 1900 years and has not received his reward yet and will not receive it until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Lord does not come back, then he'd never be rewarded. You, when you die, you do not enter into reward. You couldn't get your reward because the work is not all in. Every activity that you set in motion, my friend, will have to come to fruition before you get the reward of the final all of it. That's what I'm talking about. Some of you listening to me now are feeling like you're saying, Brother Lincoln, I've not amounted to much for the Lord. But in the day of rewards, you may get a bigger reward than you thought you would. You'll get a bigger reward maybe than you thought you would. I don't imagine Andrew figured he's very big potato. Do you think so? Andrew. And you know how Andrew was known in the Bible? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. That takes a big man just to be the brother of somebody. I remember I was in the Winona Lake Bible Conference once. Mrs. Asher was there with Mr. Rodehaver, sang with Mr. Rodehaver in Mr. Sunday's meetings. And Mrs. Asher had been known nationally and
and all of that. She had a husband. Nobody heard anything about Mr. Asher.
They were saying many beautiful things about Mrs. Asher.
And finally, a little woe-begone fellow got up on the back of the pulpit and said, "I'm Mrs. Asher's husband." Takes a big man just to be known as the husband of the brother of someone. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The illustrious one. Andrew couldn't write the epistles. Andrew couldn't preach the sermon at Pentecost. But he could lead the Lord, the man to the Lord that could do it. Amen. And in the day of rewards, he'll get a larger reward than Simon Peter. Because he'll get all he did plus all Peter did. Up yonder in Boston one morning, a faithful Sunday school teacher put his hand across the shoe counter and grasped the hand of a 17-year-old beardless youth and said, "Dwight, will you accept the Lord Jesus?" And he said, "I will. I will." I do not know the name of that Sunday school teacher. But that 17-year-old beardless youth became the great Dwight L. Moody that put one hand upon America and the other upon Great Britain and preached the love of God and the gentleness of Jesus until two continents rocked heaven. And in the day of rewards, he'll get a larger reward than Mr. Moody. He'll get a larger reward than Mr. Moody because he'll get all he did plus all Moody did. Let me say this to you. Yonder one morning in Richmond, Indiana, a faithful Presbyterian preacher preached, and a young lad, 10 years of age, Sunday school teacher put her hand under his elbow and walked him down the aisle. And when she had said to him, "Wilbur, will you go?" And he said, "I will." And that morning he joined the church. I do not know that Sunday school teacher's name. But that 10-year-old lad became the great J. Wilbur Chapman, the sweetest evangelist that ever belted the globe. And in the day of rewards, he'll get a larger reward. She'll get a larger reward than Mr. Chapman. Because she'll get all he did plus all he did. Let me say this to you, my friends. Listen. Listen to me. You say, "Brother Lincoln, what do you mean?" I mean this. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Why? For they shall rest. No, we're not entering into our reward. But when we die, we enter into rest. And while we are resting yonder in the presence of the Lord, our works will be going on. Dwight L. Moody said one day, you'll read in the papers that Dwight L. Moody, the evangelist, is dead. He said, "Don't you believe a word of it. I'll be 1,000 times more alive then than I've ever been." Go yonder to Northfield and Mount Hermon. Go yonder to Chicago to the great Moody Church and the Moody Bible Institute. Go across the seas and see the work of Dwight L. Moody, and surely it goes on today as never before. I remember a few years ago when I was in Akron, Ohio, over 50 years ago, there came to my meeting one night a young fellow just from the hills of Kentucky. He came just from the hills of Kentucky. He had been saved but never had been baptized. He and his wife came to hear me preach. One night when I preached on baptism, he came and was baptized. And that young mountaineer, that young hill man from the hills of Kentucky, started a church. While he was still in the rubber shops, he started a church with $2.40 and 12 people. And in the years to follow, in the 40 years that followed, I held over 50 revivals for him. I saw that $2.40 go to $50,000 a Sunday. The man told me the other day when I preached, his son, who is now pastor, told me that my offering last Sunday was $50,000. $35,000, $40,000, and $50,000 a Sunday. 16,000 members and $4 million worth of offering. $4 million in property. One day his son called me. We had an agreement that whichever died first, the other would preach his funeral. One day his son called me and said, "Dad died last night, suddenly." I went to preach his funeral, and you know what? 32,000 people passed by his casket from 2 o'clock this afternoon till 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. They kept the church open all night so that the workers on the different shifts could file by. When I preached his funeral, And 6,000 people jammed that church and stood around and looked in the windows. 6,000 people. And I stood up to preach and I said, we come to do today for the dead that which the dead had oft promised to do for us. But I have only this little message for you, and I take this text. His name was Dallas. And I preached his funeral and saw them move out. I'm thinking now, sitting yonder, you say it's all over for old Alice Billington. No, it isn't. Thank God he's sitting up yonder in the grandstand. And he's looking down this afternoon. Hey, Dallas, I was just up and dedicated the big $4 million temple the other day. I know you're proud of it. Looking down on that. Looking down on others that he built across the nation and around the world, my friend. Resting in the presence of the Lord. Somebody said, Dr. Lakin, do you dread it? No, I'm sort of looking forward to it. Every now and then I tiptoe and look over. And I can see some loved ones looking this way, yes, looking this way. Fair as the morning, bright as the day, loved ones in glory. Hallelujah. One of these days it'll all be over. And when I'm sitting yonder in the presence of God, and I look down on the activities of the Akron Baptist Tabernacle, the Akron Baptist Temple, I look down on the Baptist Temple yonder in Canton, Ohio. I look down on the great church yonder in Cleveland, Ohio. 2,200 in Sunday school. I go out yonder in California and see Dr. Paul. And I see Dr. going out yonder with that great church. Listen, used to be my pianist. Let me tell you something. And when I see those going on, I feel like these days and nights have not been in vain. And the toil of the road will seem nothing. When I get to the end of my way. There's been so many hills to climb up. There's been so many obstacles to overcome. But he who appoints me my portion knows just what is needful and best. Listen, my friend. From their labors, and their works do follow them. Amen. Turn in the 16th chapter, will you please? In the 15th verse. Here it is. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he, underscore your blessing. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Behold, I come as a thief. Now, I don't know how he's going to come. I don't know whether he's going to turn over the tombstones and plow up the cemeteries or not. Or whether he'll come and just steal them away. The Word of God says the thief will come. And when does a thief come? A thief usually comes at night. Thief usually comes at night. We're talking about this being a glorious day. This isn't day at all. This is night. It's been night for 1900 years. You take down in Egypt, my friend, down in Egypt when they killed the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. And there was darkness over the land of Egypt. There was darkness over the land of Egypt. And for 2,000 years ago they slew the lamb. And the sun went down. And we've been in the darkness now for 2,000 years. Even a darkness that can be felt. But we who are believers, we who love the Lord's appearing, we're not as the children of the night, but the children of the day. And we have a light that shines more and more even under the perfect day, my friend. You say, Dr. Lakin, you think the Lord's coming soon? I don't know. I hope so. But I don't know. You know what my outline of it is this. He's coming sometime. He may come anytime. So I'll keep looking for him all the time. Amen. When does a thief come? A thief usually comes at night. I said, this is night. And I believe we're getting near to the morning. Why? Because the coldest hour of the night is just before the dawn. Did you ever see it any colder than it is now, spiritually?
Oh, you can get a holy groan out of some old saint every now and then. But I'm asking you what it is, the joy and the zeal and the earnestness of it, my friend.
The joy of the whole thing. I was preaching not long ago. You know what we've done? The devil of respectability has murdered our spirituality.
I was preaching not long ago, and a good old lady came down the aisle holding up her hand and shouting, and that crowd looked like they were going to jump out of the window. I pulled up my chair and sat down, and I said, "Help yourself, honey." But what's that ice there in the aisle, I see. I said, you can't hurt my sermon. My sermon's like a freight train. I can uncouple her and kick out a few boxcars and hook her up and pull out again and go on. It doesn't matter. I'm like the black man when they get the cook and they said, "How do you make hash?" He said, "Boss, you don't make hash. It just accumulates." That's the way my sermons are. They just accumulate. Amen. Somebody said, "Do you write your sermons?" I said, "No, they're right when I get them." But let me tell you something. And then when I get the barrel filled up, I get up and kick out the bung hole and let it run out. That's all I do. No, I don't worry about that. Listen to me. Lady said to me one night after this old lady had shouted, and I sat down and I said, "Help yourself." And this old lady went home that night, and the next night she came back and she said to me, "Lord," she had her glasses on a stick, and she talked like she had a bunion on her tongue. And she said, "Dr. Locken, don't let her bother you now because she's just nervous." I said, "That's right. She's so nervous she wouldn't drink cocktails, smoke cigarettes, play bridge." I said, "Do you know what this church needs? Some more nervous people." Amen. Meet some more nervous people. He said, "The joy of the Lord," listen to me, "and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." That's what the Bible says. The love of many shall wax cold. You say, "Brother Lincoln, the coldest hour of the night is just before the dawn." Yeah, and the darkest hour of the night is just before the dawn. People are wondering today what we're going to do. What we're going to do. What's going to happen? I don't know. I'm not concerned much about it. I know one thing, the Lord's coming back. I was on the Mount of Olives and preached the other day. Someone said to me, "Dr. Lincoln, you think you'll ever come back to the Mount of Olives?" I said, "Oh, yes. I expect to come back next year. But if not, I'll be back, and I'll be in the cavalry when I come back. Riding upon a white horse, clothed in fine linen." Sometimes I get up in the morning, and I walk out, you know, and sometimes, some of these mornings, I said, I'll walk out and my foot won't touch the sidewalk. Then I'll take another step and it'll go up a little higher. And the first thing you know, I'm among the trees and the branches, and my coat will drop off and the shoes. That'll be a big day for the rag man, won't it, when the Lord comes back, my friend. Jesus is coming, is coming, is coming. Jesus is coming again. My heart is so happy. My soul is so glad. Old lady said, "I don't believe in making so much fuss about my religion." I said, "If I didn't have any more than you got, I wouldn't either." But I'm going to tell you, when I get to thinking about how good the good God has been to me, I don't see how I keep as still about as what I do. You know the old colored preacher, the old colored deacon? He had his same old pastor for about 40 years. And he'd shout on Sunday. So one day the old pastor died and they sent away and got a new one. They sent away to the preacher factory and got him a new one. And he streamlined the thing. And he asked him to tell the old preacher, to tell the old deacon not to shout. So the deacons went down in the field where he was and told him what the new pastor said. And he leaned up against his plow handles and said, "Sometimes I do think maybe I carries on a little too much. But," he said, "sometimes, though, when I get to thinking how good the good God has been to me, I've always had a roof above my head, ain't never had to have no undertaker, always had plenty to eat. When I get to thinking about how one dark night the blessed Holy Ghost came and convicted me of my sin, and I was born again, and my soul was washed white in the blood of the Lamb,
And how my Savior is going yonder to prepare a home for me. And one of these days he's coming back to get me. And I'm going to take hold of the wings of the wind. And I'll go above the clouds and crypts and crags. Until the angel said, lift up your head, ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And I sweep down the gates of the streets of heaven. And sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where every day is a Sabbath and every month is a May. Where the rainbow never fades and the flower never withers. He said, hold his mule while I got a child. Let me tell you something. I tell you one thing, if you get old time religion, your mule will get in the cabbage patch someday, amen. Listen, behold, he cometh as a thief. Blessed are they that watch. Did you know when a thief's coming? I'll tell you what, a thief usually comes when you least expect him. Thief comes when you least expect him. Fellow got up one night, his wife said, somebody downstairs. So he slipped down the stairs and turned on the light, and there the guy stood with a gun. He said, listen, you can have all the valuables and everything, but before you go, I want my wife to see you. He said, why? He said, she's had me up every night for 20 years looking for you. Now that she's come, I don't want her to miss you. Did you know another thing, friend? You seldom know a thief has been there until he's gone. And you only know he's been there by what you miss. And when the thief comes, he don't take pots and pans. He takes the jewels and the valuable things. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout, isn't it? And when he comes, when our Lord comes, he'll take only those that have been made precious by his blood. Behold, he comes as a thief. Blessed is he that watches. Only those that have been made precious by his blood. I believe that the Lord is coming. I do not know when, but I believe he's coming. Amen. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garment. Now, what's the garment? That's not you. That's the thing you wear around you. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his testimony. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Lest they walk naked and they see his shame. Let me tell you this, my friend. I want to be able to walk before him without being ashamed. That's the reason I don't want to be some places that people are when Jesus comes. I don't want to be doing anything that would be displeasing to him when he comes. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Dr. John Rollins said to me the other day, I say this humbly. He said to me, I was in Dayton, Ohio, 4th of July, and he asked me to come. I was in a meeting. He asked me to come down to Cincinnati and preach at 10:30 on Tuesday morning, the 4th of July. And I went. We sat on the platform, and Dr. Rollins said to me, he said, preacher, you're a miracle. I said, what do you mean? He said, a man been preaching 62 years and booked up for 2 years now. Booked up now for 2 years. And he said, I'm going to say this. And yet, he said, John, what do you think is the secret to it? He said, number one, you've never bowed your knee to Baal. He said, you have never taken down your flag. You have stood firm and faithful and true to the fundamentals of the faith, believing the Word of God, and believing the Word of God, he said. And you preached that unfailingly. And he said the other thing, and I was proud of this. He said, I've never heard a breath of scandal on you. I live so I can look every man between two big eyes and say, you're a liar. Amen. One fellow was speaking before a Lilius group not long ago and said the last of the world's old-time evangelists sold out to the world's greatest broadcaster for a motor home. Next time I see him, and I've held two meetings for him, I'm going to look him smack dab between the eyes and say, in West Virginia, when you lie on a fella, you start making funeral arrangements.
And I just wanted to tell you that you're a double distilled, triple extracted, concentrated liar. That's exactly what I want to say. Now, if you can't understand that, write it out, and I'll sign it, amen. Don't you think it ought to be done to them, amen? Brother, you ought not to go around trying to hurt somebody, amen? Trying to hurt somebody? Not long ago, they were talking about registering all the guns. I said, in West Virginia, they wouldn't know about that. We use 38 specials for teething rings. When a man gets shot, the coroner's verdict is he died of natural causes. Amen. You like that, didn't you? Bless your heart. I'd better hurry up. I like to preach. Amen. And you're good people to preach to, too. You're good people to preach to. I like to see people get happy, don't you? And overflow. One old lady stood up and said, "My cup just stays about level full all the time." I said, "Yeah, and it's got wiggle tails in it, too." Amen. The level full Christian doesn't, the level full Nile doesn't fertilize the Nile. It's the overflowing Nile. I like to see a fellow get a blessing, don't you? I like to get close to a fellow that's getting a blessing. When Brother Cup runs over, Brother Saucer gets some. That's what I'm saying. And if you're not sweet in your soul, there's plenty of honey in the rock. Amen. I believe a Christian ought to be so sweet a fellow slaps him on the shoulder, gets honey on his hand, goes down the street licking it off and gets under conviction and comes back and gets saved. Amen. Let's turn to the 19th chapter. The 19th chapter. Here it is, my friend. And the 9th verse. And he said unto me, "Write, blessed are they," underscore your blessed, "are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said, "These are the true sayings of God." Now, there's a verse I don't understand. You know, the trouble with the commentaries, when I come to a verse I don't understand, and I look it up in the commentaries, I find the commentator had trouble with the same verse. He didn't answer it either. Amen. No, I don't know. Now, there, he said, "Who are the invited guests? Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper." Now, the bride doesn't have to be invited. The groom doesn't have to be invited. You know, I've often wondered about this. Maybe it was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and those boys that never belonged to the church. Maybe they'll be the invited guests. Amen. Maybe they will be the invited guests. I don't know. See, I'm not a scholar. I let the scholars deal with that. A fellow said to me, "Can you talk Greek?" I said, "I can't hardly speak English." A fellow was trying to teach me. He said, "You know any Greek?" I said, "Yeah, I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew." The little Greek has a restaurant and the little Hebrew runs a clothing store. I didn't know. He's trying to teach me about baptism. He said, "It's rantizo and baptizo." I said, "Gravy, grave I, grave o." But it just sopped when I was a kid. I just soon be in heaven and learning my ABCs in hell reading Greek, wouldn't you? Let me tell you something. Okay. Fella went in to get a job as a janitor at the bank, and they said, "Well, sign the application." He said, "I can't write." Well, he said, "Sorry, you can't have the job." So he went away. As he went out, he saw a man selling apples. So he bought some apples and went down the street, put him up a little fruit stand, and that prospered. And then he put up another until he had a chain of them, and he made $1 million. Then had to have a bank to put his money in, so he came back to the bank and went in and told them. He said, "I'd like to deposit this $1 million, man." They said, "Man, if you'd had an education, where would you have been?" He said, "I'd have been janitor of the bank. That's what I'd have been." Amen. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper. Now the 22nd chapter. 22nd chapter and verse 7. And here it is. "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that watcheth. Listen. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That's the suddenness of his coming. Just as a lightning shineth out of the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. My mother was an old-fashioned country woman. One day when I was pastor of the Cato Tabernacle in Indianapolis, my brother called me and said, "You better come home. Mother's pretty sick." So I drove home 300 miles, and as I walked up the walk to the little home in the hills, he said, "I don't know whether she'll know you or not." And I went in and knelt down beside the bed, and I took her hand, and her eyelids were paralyzed, and she couldn't see for several years except as she would lift them. And she took her hand and put out over my face, and I said, "Ma, do you know me?" She said, "Yes, this is my baby boy. This is my preacher boy."
Amen.
And then she said, "Son, when I carried you unto my heart, before you were born, I asked God to let you be my preacher man. And the day you were born, like Hannah, I dedicated you to the Lord. I watch the clock now every night when 8 o'clock comes, I pray for you." She said, "I listen to you on the radio every morning from Cincinnati." She said, great crowds come to hear you preach now, and great temptations will come to you. And that temptation will be to compromise with worldly people." She said, "Promise your mother now, before she goes to heaven, that you'll go on and preach the old gospel, because it's just like I taught it to you when you were a little boy." And then she sang, "When I can read my titles clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes." And then I prayed, and after I prayed, she started, "I'm going home, I'm going home, I'm going home to die no more, to die no more, to die no more. I'm going home to die no more." And one morning in Indianapolis, 5 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang, and my brother-in-law said, "Mother died this morning, 2 o'clock. I sat out on the side of the bed and cried like a child. Then my wife put her arm around me, and I looked up to heaven and said, this is the first time I've ever been without a mother. Well, she's in heaven today, and I want her to know that her boy believe this book. And Ma, I'm going to tell you something, because you heard me this afternoon. I felt like you might have gone up and told Jesus to help me a little bit. And I want to tell you now that I'll soon be coming home. But I love this old book. Let's sing, 'There is a land that's fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar.' And by faith we can see it afar. There's a land that is fairer than day." I never heard my father sing, but I used to hear him hum this little song, "In the sweet by and by." Would you like to sing that with me, my friend? And I want you to sing. Everybody's standing while we sing it. Don't go out, if you will, for just a few moments. Just don't move around for a little while. Singing, "There's a land that is fair, and by faith
we can see
it." And the Father.
And the Father is over
there to prepare us in the sweet by and by, who we shall meet in the sweet, everybody,
by and by, we shall meet.
Maybe someone in here like the boy that said to me today, "I heard you yesterday. I got under conviction and I've gotten saved now." Maybe somebody else like that would like to get saved. Honey, let me tell you, this is real. And if you're ever a member of the family of God, you'll have to be born into it.
Amen.
You'll have to be born into the family. And we're going to sing one other verse, just another verse. And while we sing this, if you'd like to come and kneel, somebody will speak with you while we sing it. Don't make a rush. Just if you're in your heart, it's real, and you really would like to know whether or not you're saved forever and saved for keeps. You'd like to know that. You may know. John said this is written that you may know. I want you to come down here and kneel with us while we sing the other verse. Come on. God bless you. Just this one verse. Sing just one more verse. This is your verse. If you don't come, this is it. Sing one more verse. God bless you. We're not making a great rush out of it, but if you're genuine and mean it, Spirit shall follow.
On that beautiful shore.